Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning we begin our new sermon series in the Gospel of John. And John's Gospel really is about a central question that John wants to address, and that question is this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? The reason that this is the critical question of not only John's Gospel, but the entire Bible, is Christianity is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything about Christianity revolves around Him. Take Him out of any aspect of our faith, we no longer have our faith, we have something else. And so for us to be able to understand our faith and to live our faith, to experience our faith, we need to know who Jesus is. Indeed, for us even to be able to enter into that faith and be a part of that faith, to be a part of that family that we are invited into, God's family, we need to know Jesus. And so John writes an entire gospel, and indeed all of Scripture helps us to understand, to know, and through the work of the Holy Spirit to comprehend who is Jesus. So we're going to be spending several months together in this wonderful gospel exploring this question, and hopefully it will deepen our not only understanding of who Jesus is, but our understanding of what it means to be His followers, to be a Christian, a Christ one, one who belongs to Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at the first 18 verses of John's first chapter. It is essentially a summary that John offers, summarizing the critical issues that he is then going to explore in the rest of the 21 chapters of his gospel. So I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 1 as we read these 18 verses together. If you'd like to use the Bible you find in your pews, it's on page 881. And this is what John tells us as he begins to explore the question, who is Jesus? In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. Nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So, the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about Him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' from His abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is Himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. So who is Jesus? John presents three basic categories that he explores briefly in these 18 verses and that he will be expanding upon in his gospel. Three ways of understanding who Jesus is. Who Jesus is eternally, who Jesus is effectively, and who Jesus is visibly. Who Jesus is eternally, effectively, and visibly. And we're going to look briefly at each of those three categories together this morning. So first, who Jesus is eternally. What do we mean by Jesus is eternal? What we're talking about when we talk about the eternal nature of Jesus is Jesus as He has always been, as He is, and as He will always be. The eternal nature of Jesus. And this is so because, as John so clearly states, He is God. Jesus is God. And more specifically, in this description that John uses here, He is the Word of God. That doesn't mean that He's less than God or different than God, but it's a particular, if you will, aspect of God that John wants to bring out in these verses. He is the Word of God, capital W. But what does John mean by that phrase, Word of God? Later in our passage, he will say Jesus is the Son of God, and that is the more typical way in which we see Jesus described in the Gospels, including John's Gospel, when we talk about Jesus' divinity, the fact He's God, He's called Son of God. But here, John says He's Word of God. Well, in order to understand what John means by that phrase, let's just think concretely about what we mean by Word, W-R-D. What does Word signify? Word signifies the ability to communicate one's thoughts, the ability to communicate what is on your mind. See, the only way that I can share with you the thoughts that I have this morning about this passage of Scripture is to use words. And the only way that you're going to be able to share with anybody that you'd like to share with what's on your mind, what are in your thoughts, is to use words. It is the way in which we communicate what is going on in our mind because, sorry, ladies, we can't read your minds. You may have heard that before. We can't truly read each other's minds. What we are thinking, what is going on in our minds, needs to be communicated, and words is how we can. They could be audible words, like we're doing now. They can be legible words, words we read on a page. They can be abstract words, maybe using art or something as a way of communicating. But in the broad sense, it is the way in which we communicate what's going on inside. And it is necessary in order for people, other people, to know what is going on in our minds, what our thoughts are. So that is the concept that John is bringing to bear to help us understand who Jesus is eternally. He says eternally, He has always been, He is, and He will always be the communication of God. The way in which the mind of God and the thoughts of God are brought into reality. And one of the ways that John illustrates that is the very way in which he begins his gospel. What are the first three words of John chapter 1? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what other book of the Bible begins with those three exact same words, in the beginning? Genesis, right? In the beginning, and what's going on in the beginning in Genesis? In the beginning, God created. Okay? Now, if we know the Genesis story, then we know the method by which God created. He
spoke, right? God spoke, and what John is telling us is he spoke through the Word. It is through the Word, John says in verse 3, that all things are created. In God's mind is the world, and he speaks through the Word that world into being. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. It starts in the mind of God. God thinks light, and through the Word, light exists. God thinks planet, and the planet exists. God thinks sun, moon, and stars. Through the Word, they exist. It is the communication of God, bringing the thoughts of God into reality. Now, that's what the Word is doing way back at the beginning, in a way that I certainly don't understand, but Scripture just says that's what is going on. But Jesus, who was the Word, still is the Word today, and what did that Word do? As he says later in verse 14, the Word became flesh. That very communication of God that brings everything into existence becomes a human being in order to do what? Well, to do what he's always has been doing, is doing, and always will do. Communicate to us the thoughts of God, the mind of God, and what is the primary thing he communicates. For, and it's in John 3:16, we know the answer, for God so loved the world. That's the number one thing that Jesus is communicating. He communicates many other things, many important things that we will learn as we read Scripture, but it's the number one thing he wants to come and communicate. So he is the Word. He is the one who communicates to us. But going back for a moment to Genesis, what John is saying, which is pretty amazing, I don't know if you ever thought about this with Jesus. I haven't spent much time on this thought, but I did quite a bit this week as I thought about the Scriptures. Pretty amazing that everything is created through Jesus. When I think of Jesus, I tend to think of this person who lived 2,000 years ago, and he's a human being, looks very much like us, and he walked and he talked and he ate and he had followers and got into conversations. And I think, you know, yes, he's Son of God, and he did die on a cross, but it's a human being, and he was raised from the dead. But I don't think of him in terms of creation. But what John is saying, what is amazing, is that nothing has been created that was not created through him. Him, Jesus. What does that say about me? Now, if I move away from what was going on way back at the beginning, back in Genesis 1, what does that say about me? Guess through whom I was created, through whom you were created. You were created through the Word of God. You were created through Jesus Christ. And not only were you created, John says, but everything that was created was given life. The life that I have, the life that you have, is a life that was in God's mind and that was created through the Word of God and was given life. The life that you lead, the life that you have, is yours through Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the second point. Having looked briefly at who Jesus is eternally, we now look at who Jesus is effectively. By that we mean who Jesus is for me and for you. What it is that he comes to do in our lives. Now, we've already said one thing, is that we are created through him and we're given life through him. But now we're going to learn something more, that effectively he became a human being in order to give us a whole different kind of life. In the English, we use the word life to translate both of two Greek words. The New Testament was written in Greek. So whenever you read the New Testament in English, remember it's been translated from the Greek language. And the Greek language has two words that we both translate life. The words are bios and zoe. The Greek word bios, from which we get our words like biology, means physical life. The kind of life that we all are a part of, created life. Zoe, in the biblical usage, is often translated eternal life. It is a quality of life that partakes of the kind of life that God has. See, God doesn't have bios life, although the Son became bios, he became a human being. But God, in who he is in his essence, has zoe. a quality of life. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to all that he created, including you and me, all that he had given life, and he says, I come to offer you additional life. John 10:10, I come to offer you abundant life. I come to offer you Zoe. I am here to give you a quality of life that is a forever life, that is an eternal life, that is a life lived forever within the community, within the family of God, an image that John uses in these verses, so that we may become children of God, may become part of his family. Bios, we're part of the human family. Zoe life makes us part of God's family. So what is Jesus, the Word made human, come to do? It is to effectively give us Zoe life. Now, John says there's a problem here, that the Word becomes human. The one who created the world comes into the world. He becomes a part of his creation, and the creation does not recognize him. The creation does not acknowledge him. The creation indeed rejects him and rejects the Zoe life that he wants to offer, that he wants to give. John uses the term darkness to illustrate that rejection, contrasting it with the light, which is a way of expressing what Jesus is bringing. He comes to bring light. He comes to bring an everlasting life, and the light is that nature by which we can understand what it is and we can receive it, light so that we may see it, if you will, with spiritual eyes. But the world chooses to live in darkness. It remains in darkness. It rejects the light. But thankfully, verse 12, but to all who believe him, who all who believe that he is the Word, that he is God eternal, that he is God effective, and as we'll talk in a minute, he is God visible, to all who believe and who accept that, who receive it and make it a part of themselves, saying, yes, I want this for me. I want you to save me from that which keeps me from being a part of Zoe life. I want you to pardon that within me that keeps me from being a part of the family of God. For all who accept that, to them gives he the right to become part of this life. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, says it's becoming part of the kingdom of God, becoming part of the family of God. Paul talks about being adopted into the family. All images of those of us who are outside the life of God, outside the Zoe, of becoming a part of it. That's why Jesus is here. And why does God do this? Why does God send his Word into the world? Because he loves us. And that all who believe in him, they may have Zoe. John points out here quickly, he'll talk more about it, for example, in that well-known passage in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, that in order to enter Zoe life, you need to be born into that Zoe life. Well, here you have the parallel with being born into Bios life. Each and every one of us were born into our Bios life. None of us got here except through one way and one way only. We were all born into it. And so it is, Scripture tells us, and John tells us here, with Zoe life, you need to be born into it. The way that Jesus talked with Nicodemus about it in John 3, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. Something only God can do. Only God can give you Zoe life. Human beings can give Bios life, but only God can give Zoe life. And the ability of human beings to give Bios life even originates in God, the Creator, yes, but a man and a woman can come together and give Bios life out of their own Bios life, but they cannot give Zoe life. Only God can give that, and so Scripture uses the image of birth. Like you were born biologically, so you need to be born again spiritually. And that birth is individual, it is personal. Each one of us was born as an individual person. We were not born as some kind of collective. We're all individual. Scientists have proven that over and over and again in DNA and in many other ways. Each one of us is a unique individual human being. And so it is when we are born into the Zoe life. And again, the Gospel of John will help us to understand this in much deeper and more profound ways. But we're born into that individually and personally through the creative spiritual power of God. Who is God eternally? Who is Jesus eternally? Who is Jesus effectively? And third, who is Jesus visibly? By that I mean, what does John say when he says, look, I looked at this Jesus. I saw him. I listened to him. I followed him. I spent time with him. What did I see? What was he to me visibly? And what is he visibly to everybody who by faith knows him? Now, I know you and I have not physically seen him, but through the eyes of John and the other writers of the New Testament, we can be given human images of who Jesus is. And what John says is, when I look at Jesus, do you know what I see? I see glory. No, John doesn't say, I see a man, he's about 5'10", he's got kind of curly hair, he's got a beard, he wears, you know, Palestinian clothing, and you know, or I see a charismatic person. He's not talking about Jesus' external features. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament is Jesus described in terms of who he is externally. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. It's interesting. We're never told what he looks like because it's all about who he is on the inside. The glory is something that John perceives that is within Jesus and in what he says and what he does and how he lives that comes out of Jesus. Perhaps think of it this way. Have you ever been in a campground and walked around the campground at night? And people have their tents, and inside their tents they have maybe a Coleman lamp or some other form of illumination. And that illumination is shining through the canvas of the tent. And as you walk around, you can see all of these individual lights shining through the tents. That's what John has in mind. That when I saw Jesus, I saw glory. Now let me tell you what the glory is, John says. The glory is God's unfailing love and faithfulness. That's what I saw in Jesus. God's unfailing love and faithfulness. And I'm going to spend 21 chapters telling you about what that unfaithful love and faithfulness is and what it does. Ultimately, how it manifests itself on a cross. Because it is through that unfailing love and faithfulness that you and I are able to be saved. God doesn't just think, I love those people that I have created. God acts through the Word. And through the Word, He seeks to bring that unfailing love and faithfulness to bear in our lives through this Zoe life that He desires to give us, His life. To help us understand a little bit more about the glory of God, John uses a contrast. He contrasts the law. He says Moses brought the law. He's thinking about Moses on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments given to God. Moses brings it down the mountain and gives it to the people of Israel. These are the commands that you're to live by. He contrasts the law. He says Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought on God's unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, people think about that, look at that, and they say, oh, that they want to contrast the two. Like Old Testament is about law, New Testament's about love, or Old Testament God is angry, New Testament God is nice and kind and caring and sends Jesus and so on. No, that's not what John means, and indeed, that is not what Scripture ever says. Rather, here's the issue. Law makes demands on us, and they are righteous demands because they come from God. God says, this is how I want you to live. That's what the law does. It makes a demand. The problem is we cannot meet the demands of the law. We cannot completely and fully obey the law. But what Jesus brings in unfailing love and faithfulness of God is he brings the supply to meet the demand. And indeed, the supply is always greater than the demand. Whenever we break the demand of the law, there is a price to pay. But the supply, unfailing love and faithfulness, the glory of this one and only Son of God, the Word of God, is enough supply to meet the demand. Every sin that you and I commit, the demand requires a penalty. but to supply the unfailing love and faithfulness as revealed and lived out by Jesus Christ himself is enough to forgive that sin. Every transgression is covered, and the greater the transgression, as Paul will later say, the greater the unfailing love and faithfulness of God. And John says, I saw that in Jesus. I saw that. I experienced that. I was a part of that. When I'm told that Jesus existed way at the beginning, I just have to believe. I can't put my mind around it. I'll just say, okay, fine. But can we move on to something that, you know, what does that mean to me? But this is, what I saw was his love and his faithfulness, and I've experienced it, and I have believed it, and I have accepted it, and I have become a part of it. Yes, the law makes demands, and they are righteous demands because they come from God, but the supply is what Jesus brings. And because the supply meets the demand, because our sins are forgiven, because the transgressions are covered, we now have the opportunity to enter into a Zoe life with God. John is saying, that's what my gospel is about. That's what I'm here to tell you. That's what I want to share with you. And not only in the gospel of John, and that's where we'll be focused, but also if you read his three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, same topic, who is Jesus? Eternally, effectively, visibly, and the revelation, which is also written by John, it's all about Jesus. We think it's all about like some end time. It's all about Jesus. Who he is, eternally, effectively, visibly, from beginning to end, it's about Jesus. John is the great gospel writer who helps us understand if we are willing to read, if we're willing to study, if we're willing to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me with those things that I don't understand. Help me to see. I want to know the nature of who Jesus is because he is the center of my faith. If I am to be fully his, I need to fully know who he is. If I'm going to follow him with all I am, I need to know everything that he is, not just as this human being, but who he is eternally and who he is effectively, as well as who he is visibly. And when we do so, through his communication, we also call this, right, the Word of God, the communication of God, which communicates to us about the communicator, if I can say it that way, that capital W, Word of God. When we spend time here, and when we spend time especially with someone like John, who Jesus is going to be answered in expansive and ever-deepening ways for us. And it will deepen our faith, because the more we get to know Jesus, the more we get to know who he calls us to be and what it means to live as his follower, as his disciple. So, who is Jesus eternally? Who is Jesus effectively? Who is Jesus visibly? That's what we're going to be looking at over the next several months. And I hope that you will join together in daily reading of Scripture and considering what the devotionals may lead you to think about, and most of all, prayerfully asking the Holy Spirit for each one of us to deepen our knowledge of who Jesus is. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you especially for this word from the Gospel of John. We pray, Father, as we explore this topic in the coming months, who is Jesus, Lord, that it may be a topic that deepens our relationship with you, because the better we get to know him, the better we will get to know ourselves in terms of what you call us to be. The more we learn about this Zoe life and how wonderfully expansive it is, how wonderfully abundant it is, the more, Lord, we will understand how to live in it and what it means to be a part of it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in Jesus Christ, your love was revealed to the world. The Word communicated who you are to us. And so, Lord, may we in return accept that, believing it to be true. And so may we love you and love one another. We pray in Jesus' name.